it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome back to a Common Sense Wednesday, where we take time, we just talk about everyday things, you know, things you're going to deal with on a regular daily basis. We've joked about it so many times, you know, you think when you got out of high school, you think, well, I've seen it all and heard it all. Well, then you go to college and you get out and you think, man, I definitely have seen it all and heard it all. And then you get out in the real workplace and you think, man, I definitely now have seen it all and heard it all. But usually by the time you're 50 or 60, you realize, I will never see it all. I will never hear it all. It keeps changing all the time. The world is just a kind of a rock and rolling place, just back and forth. And so we're ever growing. Some people said, but they're able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Except for Christians, you know, we're here on this planet at a special time. We're here to be the salt and the light of this planet. We're supposed to leave everything better than we find it. And so one of the things I realized, and I grew up in a big family, you know, that I always get together, family reunions, family picnics. People would gather on my grandmother's front porch on Sunday afternoon after church because she'd always cook a big meal for everybody. And they'd sit on the front porch and we'd talk. There was no, we didn't have a McDonald's. We didn't have an Arby's or a Hardee's. We didn't have anything. I think we had a Dairy Queen across the state line a few miles away. There was no drive-in movie theater. There was nothing. It was just a little mining community, but we'd hang together as a family. And I noticed on the front porch, we'd try to outlie, outbrag, and, you know, out-tell whoever just told a story. And so we were just natural-born storytellers. But one of the things that you'd hear on that front porch, people try to outbrag the problems that they'd have all that week. And you hear the statement, man, you cannot believe the week I've had. Or, man, you cannot believe the day I've had. Or you cannot believe, it's like they're trying to stretch, you know. Like, I've been through hell front ones and backwards, and I got the scars to prove it. And so they thought that would be a great source of conversation. And so all the time they try to outbrag everybody. So I realized when I grew up, I didn't want to do that. I want to leave people better than I find them, which is really a biblical thing to do. Jesus left everybody better than he found them. And you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wherever he went, when he left them better than before he showed up. The Apostle Paul was known for doing that. Even the Apostle Peter. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to, I'm the salt and the light of this planet. My job's to leave everything and everybody better than I find it. And so you're going to have to get in the habit. So when you show up to the office in the morning, show up at work or working second shift or anything, the first thing you want to realize when you pull into the parking lot before you go to work, you kind of have a mental thing with yourself. Like, what are you going to do? Well, today, my goal is not only to do my job better than anybody else, but my job is to leave everybody better than I find them. I want to say something good. I want to encourage everybody. I want to have a positive word. I want to be a good listener. You know, got two ears and one mouth. Listen more than you talk. Don't try to out-brag, out-lie, and out-tell a story about it as somebody else. So, when I was going through this years ago, working with high school kids, you see early in their life, you know, what kind of day they'd had and try to out-brag, you know, you can't believe the bad day I've had or the bad date I had or the bad game I had. I said, guys, you need to change that. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Let the poor say that I'm rich. Call those things that be not as though they are. And so I picked up this subject on problem because when I was working as a school administrator, I picked words every day. And I come in, I was just dealing with seniors. I had seniors for a whole year for a 50-minute class. Okay, guys, today's word is trouble. We're going to talk about trouble. You know, there are no negative scriptures almost at all in the Bible on trouble. All the scriptures with trouble have to do about being delivered from trouble, gotten out of trouble, rescued from trouble. God is a good God, so you need to start thinking things different. Well, then we picked up this word on problem. Anybody had any problems lately? Well, the hands would go up. Well, what kind of problem do you think you've had? And they'd share, and then somebody said, well, what kind of problem you had? And it would be worse than the last person shared. And then you start kind of weed out the middle ground. All of a sudden, the only ones that were left were the big problem we got. Well, you can't believe the problem I've had. I said, well, let's just take a class. And we took a 50-minute class. We just went through the word problem. I said, let's just take the scripture. Let's go to the Word of God every time. You know, there's only one Bible. I tell people all the time, Volume 2 is not coming out. And so Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 12, New Living Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 12, said this. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. Now, this is Moses, you know, across the Red Sea, Moses. He said this, "But you are such a heavy burden, such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering?" Now, this is a quote from the Bible. Moses is complaining, "You are such a heavy load to carry. You are such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering?" What's he griping about? All their problems. Well, they're telling them every day the problem they got in their marriage and with their business and with their neighbor and with their cousin and with their kids. And so that was all they did. So you look at Psalm 25, verse 17. Psalm 25, verse 17, New Living Translation. It says, "My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all." Well, that'd be a good prayer to pray, I reckon. You know, nobody likes problems. You don't like to be delivered. And so when I would go through, I love the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms because this is loaded. So Psalm 73, Psalm of Asaph, it's a great psalm, but all psalms kind of start off the same way. Thumb sucking, complaining, crying, and griping. Halfway through the rounds, okay, I'm griping too much. And then the last half is, well, I need to start leaning on God and trust God. Well, that'd be the good place to start. So I've got to look at Psalm 73. Call the Psalm of Asaph in verse 1. Start there. "Truly, God is good to Israel." Well, that was true. "To those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper, and despite their wickedness." They seemed to do okay. I don't care how evil, wicked, lying, thieving, stealing they were, they seemed to prosper. They seem to live such painless lives. Because people lie all the time, you know, by the way. "I'm doing great." Listen, everybody's gone through some hell. The tests and trials of life come to everybody. Nobody is immune from the tests and trials of life. So they seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. And he's griping. He said, "Man, I know sinners. Sinners don't have any problem at all. They don't have any challenges. They don't have any tests. They never get sick. They never go to the hospital. They don't get laid off. They get raises instead of getting fired. And so they wear pride, verse 6, like a jewel necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats," now this is the New Living Translation. I love this. "These fat cats," it's an old term, "these fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut through the earth. And so people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words." Well, it changes verse 11. "Well, what does God know?" they ask. "Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people, enjoying the life of ease, with their riches and multiplying. Because everybody's always, well, everybody's richer than me. Everybody's doing better than me. They don't have any idea what I'm going through." Verse 13 says, "Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Every day, you know, see, every day is worse than the day before. It's like some old country western song." Verse 15, "If I had really spoken this way to others, I'd have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked." Ooh, this is going to get good. Verse 18. "Truly, you put them on a slippery path. You send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning." Verse 21. "Then I realized my heart was bitter, and that I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, God. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. There's the end of it. And so what's that? That's kind of like riding a roller coaster, up and down and up and down. Then why do the wicked prosper? They don't have any problems. They don't have any challenges. Their kids never get sick. They all make straight A's. They're getting raises. They're driving new cars. They live in a nicer house than I do. It starts real simple. Life and death in the power of the tongue. You want to start shooting your foot off, get your mouth running. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong, the poor say I'm rich. Call those things that be not as though they are. Don't judge other people. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You don't know what they're going through. You're not God. You don't see their heart. You don't know what they've dealt with last night or yesterday. You don't know what their kids are going through. They're not going to tell you. People don't brag about bad stuff. And so I remember on Sunday night in church, my whole life was testimony night. What do we have Sunday night? Testimony night. Somebody's going to testify. What does that mean? They've been tested. They're going to testify about how they were tested that week, what they went through, how God brought them out, well, how they about went under, but God brought them up, how they almost got sick, but God healed them, about how they almost lost a job, but they got a better job, got a better raise. They're going to testify about the goodness of God. And so we don't have too many of those services anymore. And I remember as a kid, you go Sunday night, and you're like, well, man, let's just stay home. We'll watch Disney World. We'll watch a good program on TV. But no, got to go to church. It's Sunday night. We're going to church like all good Christians did. And you knew as a kid, because we didn't have classes for kids back then. As a kid, you sat in the main service. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, well, and pastor, you should say, he'd say, anybody have a testimony tonight? Well, old Sister Sons is going to raise her hand because she's got one every Sunday night. Oh, there she is again. There's Sister So-and-so going to give another testimony. It's going to take 30 minutes to get it out of her. But, you know, you would learn something. And so people give testimony. All of a sudden, you give this incredible story. Somebody that you knew, been in church their whole life, and you realize they never had any problems. And all of a sudden, they talk about the hell they just walked through and backwards and how God brought them out. You realize the tests and trials come to everybody. But God always makes a way out. There's nothing, the Bible says, there's nothing that's ever come up on me. That God has already made a way of escape. Whatever I'm dealing with, God saw it coming before I was born. Before my mother met my father, God saw the things I would go through, and he's already provided a way out. He's already made a way of escape. I'm not begging God to help me. He's already promised to help me. So what I need to do is, the Bible says, you enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Come before him with singing. God inhabits praise, not griping. God likes to be thanked. He likes to be loved on. He likes to be bragged about. So get your mouth running around. Get up every morning. Just take a 60-second. Father, I want to thank you. This is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today you're going to order my steps, direct my paths. You're going to surround me, Psalm 512, with a shield of divine favor. People are going to like me, not even know why. Start saying what God says about you, not what you're thinking. Not what you heard in the news, not what you heard your cousin say or your neighbor said to you. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be above and not beneath. I am surrounded with divine favor just like God did with Daniel and Joseph. Wrong color, wrong culture, wrong language, yet they ended up running the nations that tried to enslave them. How did you get promoted? Well, I started off as a slave and I ended up running the country. It's in the Bible. It's a great story. How did you get promoted to the second highest person on the planet? I started off as a slave, kind of worked my way up the food chain. God loves to promote. It's what he does. Now, listen to this. Psalm 102, verse 1 through 3. So if you read in your Bible, it'll be sometimes a paragraph before us, and it says, a prayer for one overwhelmed with trouble, pouring out problems before the Lord. And here it is, Psalm 102, 1. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Everybody's been through it, guys. Nobody's immune to the tests and trials. Bend down and listen and answer me quickly when I call to you. For my days disappear like smoke. My bones burn like red hot coals. What's he doing? He's praying an honest prayer. Lord, I'm in deep trouble. I mean, there's alligators up to my armpits. God would love to deliver, but we have to ask. He got eight times in the New Testament. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. I like this. This man Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, has an exceptional ability and is filled with divine knowledge and understanding. He can interpret dreams, explain riddles, solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel and he will tell you what this writing means. So the king was confused. There had been some writing on the wall. He didn't know what it means. He said, listen, we got a guy among us. He not only can interpret dreams, he can explain riddles, but this guy knows how to solve difficult problems. Well, now, wouldn't that be a great reputation? What are you known for at work? I solve difficult problems. What are you known for in your family? I solve difficult problems. What are you known for in your neighborhood? I solve difficult problems. That is the testimony. People testify about it. What are you known for? I solve difficult problems. I don't run from them. I don't thumbsuck about them. I don't gripe. I don't complain. I don't yell. I don't holler. I don't scream or cuss. I solve difficult problems. I'm a child of God. Matthew 13:21 says this. Since you don't have deep roots, you don't last long. You fall away as soon as you have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Jesus knew, listen, tests and trials are going to come. I need you to grow. I need you to grow strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I need you to toughen up. I want you to endure. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. This last scripture, Romans 5:3, New Living Translation. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. What's Paul saying? We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. What's this trial going to do? It's going to help me grow my faith. I'm going to learn to believe God more than I've ever believed before. I'm going to learn how to repent quicker, forgive quicker, walk in love, go the second mile, give my shirt down my coat. You can't mess with me because I'm a child of God. And so that's a kind of a short summation, but everybody goes through challenges and troubles and problems. We all have them. But God determined that we would be able to get out of those problems, come through successfully. So today, kind of make your mind up. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to be a problem solver, not a problem maker. My goal today is to leave everybody better than to find them. I don't care if I'm in my house by myself all day. It might just be a phone call. I might just text somebody. Text something positive. Hey, just thinking about you. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, how much I love you, how much you meant to me. Say something good. Leave everybody better than you find them. And God will start moving like a freight train. I guarantee it. Thanks for listening today, guys. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.